Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Couples Chat. I'm one of your hosts, Joanne Alston.
And I'm Darius Alston.
And we have a good one for you today. A little biased because we say that every time. I think every episode is a good episode. Right. So thank you for joining us. Today's episode is called Alone Time. Mm. So what we're going to be talking about today is the benefit of having time alone and time to yourself to really understand what it is you want in a relationship, to understand who you are as a person, to understand what you want in a partner or a spouse before you dive head first into looking for that person, making sure that you are the right person before you're trying to find the right person. Right. So let's get right into it.
Let's do it.
I personally be like, I had some alone time before getting into a relationship with Darius, and the alone time was kind of a mix of dating and alone time. So it was like on and off. Again, like date and then go to by yourself and date, then go by yourself. I don't truly remember having like a full long-term period of just singleness. But then again, at the time where I was dating, I think I was always single. You was just talking to somebody or you was just fucking with somebody. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that, but you're talking and you're dealing with these different individuals, but you don't have like an actual title. Mm-hmm. It's not like a known thing, like I am a boyfriend, you are a girlfriend, like right type thing. So my situation kind of started off like that. I was dating, I was talking to guys, I was fucking some guys, but I wasn't like a full-blown relationship. So to me, that counts as my alone time, because I got to truly see the different type of dynamics and different relationships I had and really understand what I wanted. And I got to learn from all those relationships. And then there was a period where it was just like me in solitude right before Darius and I reconnected. Because at that point, I was like, okay, I'm ready. I know that I want a relationship and this is what I'm looking for. So that's kind of how my experience went.
I think mine was very similar to yours. I feel like I was in the same pool, just dating, not dating, dating, not dating. But there was a solid period of time that I was alone before we got together.
Can I call you a bluff? Because you're dating, not dating. You was in a whole 5-year relationship before we got together.
Right, but damn, I gotta expose that. In that 5-year relationship, I wasn't really committed in the whole time of the 5-year relationship.
So you were saying, oh, you know, I'm getting
tricky. No, not necessarily.
Because was she actually your girlfriend for 5 years?
Yes, on and off, though. So it was like on the off periods, I was doing the fuck I wanted to do.
Oh, so you wanted it when we were on a break?
Exactly. Because technically, on a break, we not together. In my mind, when I was younger.
How long were the breaks?
They was a good like 3 to 4 months. It wasn't like weeks.
Were you actually trying to work on bettering yourself to get back to the relationship? Or you just using these breaks to fuck other people?
Do you want my honest opinion?
Mm-hmm.
I was using the breaks.
And then you came back to the relationship the same person you was. You just wanted a clean slate to fuck other people within those 5 years.
So, my,
long time. So let's go to the phase with a 5-year relationship on and off again, on the break, fucking the bitches. Right. And you was really on your alone time.
Right. So once we like broke up for good, good, when I put her shit on her daddy porch and shit. that's when you know, I was dating a little bit, I guess you can call that dating, and then I had stopped and then actually spent some alone time. I think I was alone for at least like 6 months before we started dating.
So let's talk a bit about how the alone time helped us. Like, what in that 6 months of alone time helped you, and like what were the benefits of you taking that time to yourself before you went into a relationship?
So for me, it gave me time to reflect, like, on the things not only that my partner did at the time, but for me, like, what did I do wrong that contributed into us not being together? And not just the 5-year relationship, but just other relationships in general. I think that's the time where I had to really ask myself, like, am I really ready for a serious relationship? Because mm-hmm. even though it was a 5-year relationship, I really don't consider that serious, because I don't say that, oh, well, my goal was for us to get married. It was mm-hmm. just the time.
There was no real attention. Yeah, I was just...
Exactly.
Was there convenience? Just an easy piece of pussy that's lying in
the... Honestly...
I've been dating
for convenience. Yeah, it was convenient. It was convenient. Okay. It was love a little bit, and then that shit turned into irritation, and I stayed because it was convenient. Like you said, it was just an easy piece of slide into. I think, like, I learned a lot, though. I learned a lot about myself, about the things that I wasn't going to accept, the things mm-hmm. I was going to accept, because I was like, I'm not dealing with that. What do you want to say? That, what do you call it?
I don't know which one that's
the word is in my mind.
Okay, well, I'm just going to piggyback what you think about that word. I do think in my alone time, too, after my situationships and my dating, I had to sit. I got to sit and think about what I learned from each of my past relationships. So I'll share a bit about that. So there was one individual. What I learned from, I'm going to start like the earliest so I can kind of do them in order. So there was a couple of relationships I learned from. The first one, the oldest one I can remember, I learned that you cannot force anybody to be with you. Like, no matter how much you think you care about that person, or how much you love that person, or how much you want to be with that person, if they don't want to be with you, then they will not.
Right.
And so that one, I stayed for much longer than I should have with like this hope that, okay, once this thing happened, we would be together. Or like, once this time passed, we would be together. Or once he could realize this, we would be together. So I kept giving so much stuff. So I was like, okay, if the person don't want you, they don't want you. A second person I learned, what God has for you is for you.
Okay.
And what he don't got for you ain't for you. Because this individual I was with, but I knew he was in like this on again, off again, long term kind of thing with this woman. And it had been multiple years that they had been dealing with each other. And for some reason, I felt like I could show him a new thing and it would break that connection. And if he would be with me and he would choose me, those two are still together to this day with the two children. God ain't have that for me, okay? So I stayed in that a lot longer than I should have and gave a lot much more than I should have because of that. Another one I learned, just because somebody like you and really want to be with you don't mean you have to be with them. Because this individual pursued me for a very long time and like showered with gifts, was very, very sweet, nice, always there when I needed him, and had so much love and care. And I'm like, well, this must be right, because if somebody, you know, cares for you this much, then this should be the thing. And then that care started to turn into some type of obsession and some type of clinginess. And then when I tried to get him out, I was like, you got to go. That's and then I kicked the thing out, and then he ended up living right across the street at the neighbors. I was like, like, so I did that one thinking, oh, well, if he'd been around this long and had this love for me or this desire for me for so long, like, this got to be the person. If this man worships the ground you walk on, just because somebody worships the ground you walk on doesn't mean that that's necessarily the one for you. And another one I learned, how to scope out a cheating ass nigga. So I learned a whole bunch of ways to see how a nigga was cheating, because he taught me a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, this nigga was so shady. Like, he would go out my back door of my apartment, walk out the front door of my apartment, walk around and go to the back door with motherfuckers take the trash out. And he was talking to the bitch to the two floors above me. Dang. So I learned a lot from that sneaky kudos motherfucker. That nigga. No, ain't no kudos to him.
That's some real sneaky shit.
He walked out, give me a kiss, bro, and then we'll walk around and come back in the same building to go do the back stairwell to not pass my door and go up two flights of steps and be with the next bitch for the rest of the day. Wow. So that relationship taught me how to spot cheaters and how to spot falsehoods and the lies. They really opened my eyes up to the lies. So those were like my major relationships. Or situationships, or datings, or talkings, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
And what I learned from them.
So I found
in my alone time. Circling back to alone time.
The word was toxic. I don't know. It was.
You couldn't think of toxic.
Couldn't think of that. It was like a brain fart.
Okay.
But for that relationship, it was like, don't stay in a toxic relationship thinking that time is going to change. Yes, they say time heals all, but not in that motherfucking situation. And I think that's why I stayed so long, because I was like, well, you know, maybe the toxicity will change.
We were living on a wing and a prayer.
That wasn't it. And then the other one was stay true to yourself, because I guess I tried to take a step out of like my normal dating criteria. Because she was like a little tomboy. But like when we went out, she put it on. But I was like, I'm not that type of nigga that I need you to put that shit on all the time.
It's just not her though.
Exactly. So I communicated that to her and she still wanted to hang around. I was like, no, like, don't change who you are for me. It's just, I know that I can't date a tomboy female. Like, that's just not.
So she was like giving a stud to like men?
Ish. No, she liked men. She was girly sometimes, but like, prime example.
Just a little more masculine.
Yeah, she'd be wearing like basketball shorts and a t-shirt with some J's. And I was like, that's not for me. That's not for me. Okay? It's not for me. Another one was try to date outside my motherfucking criteria again. It was like this little Jamaican. And no offense, but that's not my cup of tea either.
I had an experience with a foreigner.
Strict.
Was she Jamaican or was she African?
She was African.
That's the difference.
She was African.
When I trusted totally separate countries,
and shit, it was real awkward. Like, it was like, I didn't check the boxes for the
I'm sorry, I'm going through drugs in my head. I'm like,
I didn't check the boxes for their parents, and I was like, you know what?
I had one of those situations.
I'm just here.
He was a really great guy. Well, actually, well, when I dated him, I was much younger. This is like high school, so I wasn't ready for no relationship anyway. So I really didn't learn nothing from that. But he's a really great guy to this day. Like, but it's
it's not the culture.
It is the culture. It's the culture, and it's the expectations they have, especially on these, I want to call them their first world, well, their first generation type children, because their parents migrated over and then they had their kids and they want them to do. And the expectation was so high. And like, even he married, I don't know if she's African. I think she is African or American. And then it was weird because his mother ain't really like me because I was light skinned, but I couldn't get so confused because his mother was lighter than me. And I was like, why you got a problem? But it's the image.
Yeah.
And also because I was very much American, and it's the image, and that wasn't being accepted. So he was great. His siblings was great, but no, his mom came. She was just
same.
I was like, oh,
yeah. But in that long time, I pretty much learned a lot. It was just like, okay, what am I going to deal with? What I'm not. What I'm not going to deal with? What are the things that I like and the things that I don't like? And what can I contribute to a relationship? And what I would like my spouse to contribute to the relationship? So spending some alone time is very, very important. Because you learn critical shit.
Yeah, so those are the benefits of alone time. You can really sit with yourself in a unjudgmental space because nobody's really there to like, right, no one can really sway your thoughts or your mind because you're just sitting with yourself. And like reflection, I think one of the biggest benefits of having alone time is being able to reflect, but also being able to imagine. You can imagine what type of life you want, what you want to see, like what type of person you want to be with, what you want to cultivate, and like who you, what you want to be like around.
Finding yourself for real.
Yeah, yes.
I think one of the biggest things is like the stigma around being alone. Like I feel like people are like, oh, if you're alone, you never gonna be with anybody. Or if you've been alone for 20 plus years, you're gonna end up finding yourself and you're not gonna. Being alone is probably the best thing that you can do before you get into a relationship. And I think that should be one important criteria for you to go through, or one stage for you to go through before you get into another serious relationship or being in a serious relationship. I think everybody should spend time alone. I don't think there's a specific amount of time that you should spend alone. Like for me, it was at least 6 months, and I think that was a good amount of time. And then we started dating, and it was just like the stars aligned. And I know people that's been alone for years, and they still, you know, trying to figure things out. They feel like they found themselves, but they can't find the partner. And I think,
but I think it's good though, because if the partner comes, it's going to be easier to connect. You're not going to have to do the work. Mm-hmm. And I think another stigma with being alone is that, one, people are used to just human beings being partnered off because you're always used to marriages and this and that. And back then, of course, women needed men to do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And now it's different. But also there's a stigma to it because people attach a lot of their value and their worth to their relationship status or to, you know, there's the other person that they're with, or like their options. You know what I mean? Who the people that they're dating, like I remember somebody asking me, how do you know who's a high value woman and a high value man? Like, you don't see yourself as being high valued when you're single. You don't have anyone pursuing you, you know? Mm. And it's like that, all of that should be stripped away and not thought about in the same way when you're talking about being alone. Because what we're talking about and being alone is like the choice of sitting alone to really learn yourself, reflect on your past, know what you can take, know what you want, so that you can be intentional and you can be clear about moving forward and finding that right person. Mm-hmm. So in what I just said, I guess my next question or my next pivot would be, how do you know once you've done those things that you are now ready to go and search for that person? So you're still, of course, alone because you haven't found that person yet, but now you're not in the stage of alone where you're just like, I'm not looking for anybody. It's me time. It's focus time too. I'm alone, but I'm open and I'm willing to be in a relationship. How do you know when you're ready to begin looking for a relationship?
I think this is a very, of course, subjective question, but I think like, when you can finally answer the question of, have I truly found myself, whatever that may look like to you. And I think that's when you can go into the seeking a relationship, when you're like, okay, I know what I want. I know what I don't want. I know who I am. Mm-hmm. And I know that regardless if I find a person or not, I'm still solidified in who I am, what I want to do, what I like and what I don't like. And you're in a position where you're like, no matter the situation, or the circumstance, I'm not going to sway my likes or dislikes or my criteria, whatever you want to call it, to be in a relationship. And I think a lot of people do that. I think a lot of people see the red flags, or they see the things that they don't want in a relationship and still accept that person, thinking that the relationship is going to change the person,
right,
or individual. And I think that's why, in my opinion, there's a lot of failed marriages there, amongst other things. I think a lot of people think, oh, I know who I'm marrying. Yes, you do. But is that person right for you? Does that person necessarily, and I'm not going to say that a person needs to check all of your boxes, because that's impossible too. But if you can sit here and say, okay, well, I can deal with these things. I can, you know, I could, I don't want to say settle, but like, yeah, I can deal with the things that they're presenting with, because everybody always has some shit that you got to deal with.
Right,
you
know, right.
Person. But if you can sit there and say, okay, I'm solidified in myself. I know the things that I want and don't want. I'm okay with being alone if I don't find a partner. I think that is a criteria, or that's how you know when you're ready.
Okay. I feel like, okay, I don't know if you, I know you remember because we did this together, but if you're listening, Darius and I went down this rabbit hole of thinking we were going to start a YouTube channel 7 years ago. And
one episode.
That crashed and motherfucking burned, okay? We had one episode. If you're interested in going to find it, our channel was called A Guide to Love for Millennials. We started this 7 years ago, so it was before we even got married. We were engaged when we made this first episode. I wish we stuck with it, because hell, we might be full-blown YouTubers at this point, but that's too much work. We just doing a digital. Hopefully, we get to the point where we actually record in the podcast, but I'm not making no promises, okay? So our very first episode was, it's not about finding the right one, it's about being the right one. And I brought that up because this is how you know you're ready to look for a relationship. When you've done the work and you've prepared yourself to be the right one, then you can go in to look for it.
Right.
So another crazy thing, if you're still, hopefully you've listened to the conflict series, and we use a lot of acronyms.
Right.
Apparently, we love those things because that first episode had an acronym.
What the fuck? What was it? I don't even remember that shit.
I looked it up. So the acronym was SELF. And I'm trying to like scroll through the video to see what the letters were. So let me see. Give me 2 seconds, people, because the video was a little long, so it's hard to really see where the pieces came up. So lovable or loving, S-E-A-L. I'm missing 2 letters. Hold on, wait, give me a second. I really want to see what the heck we were talking about, because why are we always doing this to ourselves? It's like
being a YouTuber is hard. Like all the editing and shit is difficult, and that's why we was like, we're not doing that, because I
And it's harder because I'm trying to find it without bringing on the sound, and I'm on my phone.
Right, for sure.
Oh my gosh, we're going to find it. I'm just going to edit this part so I can get to it. I don't even know how to fast forward on this thing. And it's a lot of editing, especially if you mess up. It's like, it was...
Yeah, because it's like you don't have no room for error.
Then we had really, really bad lighting. Like, we're super flush. I have on this crazy wig. Okay, so... Self. The first one is S is for self-sufficient, and the E is for emotionally ready. So,
okay,
you know you're ready for a relationship when one, you're self-sufficient. One, self-explanatory. You can take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, provide your own means. You're not like relying on somebody else, because that's a lot of work for somebody. I guess if you go into a relationship expecting somebody to take care of you, it's giving hubbleship, right? Right. So you should be putting that much weight on somebody, and right, nobody want to be in that type of real relationship, because that's too much stress and work on them. Ain't nobody trying to be somebody's mom or their daddy or their bowhead granny. So it was self-sufficient. So one, are you self-sufficient? Two, it was emotionally ready, which is really real. That's what we're talking about, you know, going back and reflecting and like sitting with yourself. Like, can you handle the emotions of somebody else? Can you handle your own emotions? Have you dealt with your past traumas? Have you figured all that stuff out? So are you emotionally ready? So then S-E-L, the L was the lovable or loving. How do you receive love? Are you open to receiving love? Like, are you standoffish from it? How have you worked through love? What experiences do you have with it? Do you have to unlearn any things? You know what I mean? Do you have to learn some things? So that was it. And then the F was flexibility. Are you flexible? Are you able to adapt? Are you, you know, change your situations come? Because you can't be stuck in your ways. When you meet the right person, you have to, you know, bring two as one, all of those things. So I guess if you checked off the self boxes, then that's how you'll know that you're ready for a relationship. I can't. 7 years ago, we were still doing Erica.
Yes. Wow.
Well, I guess it's easy for people to understand things when you break them down like that, too. But if you're interested, just go search somewhere on YouTube, A Guide to Love for Millennials.
You'll see our young asses.
It'll pop up with our horrible lighting and my very bad wig and Darius's stale face because, y'all, I forced him through that process.
It was, because it was a lot of work. Like, I don't think we actually thought about how much work it was going
to
take.
No, and then trying to edit it was even worse. It was, we didn't even really have no grant. Okay, let's get back on the topic.
Of course, alone time can definitely is a time, like I said, a time for reflection. It can, and I think, too, like, the key to this is not trying to be hard on yourself on the things that you failed or the things that you've, like, missed. Or, like, feeling like, oh, well, it was my fault because this is why the relationship failed. I think it's just a time for you to be like, okay, like I said, what did I contribute to the, and have a conversation with yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, it sounds crazy, but literally just sit there and be like, okay, well, Darius, what did I do? Or such and such, what did I do? What could I have done to make the situation better?
And it's, I think it's okay too. And it is a long time to feel all the emotions.
Yeah.
I think if you actually do your alone time right, you probably should feel all of the emotions at least once. Like, even for men, because I guess men aren't as emotional or don't succumb to their emotions as much as women. But in this alone time, there should be moments where you're crying because, you know, things were sad and you're really sitting and mourning breakups and losses. There should be times when you're angry because you feel like, you know, you did something wrong or somebody else did you wrong. And you're like, oh, if I could only go back and smack that motherfucker in the face. Like, you should have those moments. There should be moments where you're scared because you're like, oh my God, what if I don't find the right one? What does that look like? What if I'm alone forever? Like, you should work through all those emotions there. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think a lot of people feel like they have to be in a relationship.
And why? Because their value, societal pressures, and people connect their worth and their value to their relationship status or to the person that they have on their arm and to what that looks like. And that is not the case. You are your own self. Your value comes from, 100% you.
Right.
Someone else can, they can add to it, but they don't create it. They're not the sustaining factor. Like,
and I think what you said was key too, like, to feel all of the emotions, because past relationships do have, you know, effects on.
Yeah, you bring that stuff with you. People, you have tethers. Like, you really have tethers of people. One, of course, when you have sex with them, I feel like you automatically have these type of emotional tethers. Although people be like, oh, it's just sex or whatever it is. No, you are now attached to this person. Mm-hmm. So you really have to process whatever that relationship was, what was good for you, what was bad for you, sit with the reason it ended, if it was you, if it wasn't you, so that you can move to the next one and not make the same mistakes. I feel like I did a good job with the individuals I did it before you and really understanding and learning the lesson of each one of these individuals. And I know I was learning my lessons because each of these lessons were different.
Right. You
weren't falling. I wasn't doing the same thing over and over again. Exactly. Exactly. I wasn't falling to the same thing over and over again. And I was learning something new with each person and then taking that into the next relationship and saying, okay, I know what this looks like. I know what that looks like. Or the situation. I don't know. I think out of all the people that I described, only one of them was like an actual boyfriend. And that's why I stuck, because I was a cheater. That's why I stuck the most. I'm like, we actually put a title on it and you gonna cheat. Like, you might as well just would have been like, we just talking. You know what I mean? That's my main joint. Like, why? And then I kind of sort of signed before, because then we put the relationship status on it. And I want to say, when I put the relationship status on it and I understood all this in the reflection in my alone time, when I look back at it all, thinking that putting the title on our relationship was going to make him act right and was going to get him to stop messing with other women.
But that's how people.
That's crazy.
But
that's what I thought. And I thought once we were boyfriend and girlfriend, he was literally going to drop every other bitch and it was just going to be us. No, all that did was make him more sneaky.
Mm-hmm. Because he felt like he secured you at that point.
And I feel like women in that situation, the wife of the cheater, the girlfriend of the cheater, is just the dumbest bitch that he's fucking. Because you're the one that's staying with him. Why he gets to do all the stuff he wants to do. You're just the dumbest bitch in the flop.
But that even applies to outside of cheating. Like, I feel like people get into relationships and marriages feeling like, oh, this...
It's going to change something. The marriage is going to change the person, or the title is going to change the person, or after the wedding, they're just going to wake up and smell the roses. Exactly. No. If somebody shows you their true colors, believe them. Like, whatever you're getting now is what you're going to sustain. Yeah. That's what you got, okay? How many times, it's going to get better once you get married, or we're getting married with the kids, or once we get married, things are going to change, or once we get married, he's going to do more of this, and once we get married, he's going to act more of this, or she or he, and that. Once you get married, you're going to have the same person that's going to double down twice as hard. Because now they can't get out. Now you can't get out. So now they can do whatever the hell they want to do. Like, it's going to get worse. Honestly, it's probably going to get worse. But in my situation, it did. And it was harder and it hurt me more because I'm like, now we're in a relationship. You agreed to do this just so you can get more sneaky. And I'm like, why? Why did you even agree to be in a relationship? Just be like, nah, I'm not. I didn't want that. But I also think I went into it for the wrong reasons. I went into it thinking if I become his girlfriend, then it would just be us. And then he would stop messing with people. But
you're not alone in that.
It was dumb. It was dumb. And I never thought that again. I never thought a title or a one specific circumstance or one specific event was going to change a nigga or a man or a woman or a bitch or whatever you want to call these people. Because it don't do that, folks. If you, I want to know. If someone's listening, please, I mean, no one's really engaging, and I hope people are listening, please do engage. But if you're listening and you actually did that, you got into a relationship where something happened, the marriage happened or whatever, and somebody actually changed for the better. Mm. I'm interested in hearing that story.
True. But I think too, like, the tricky thing with alone time is that I'm finding it, or at least the people that I know that have spent time alone, now they rather
be alone.
Be alone. Because they solidified and love, not saying that they didn't love themselves before, but they love themselves. They fell in love with themselves. They know exactly who they are. And they're like, you know what? I would rather just be by myself than to share this space with somebody else. And that's awesome.
Yeah, that's okay. And I think that is a great mentality to have, because those people are the ones who will not settle for what they don't want, or will not settle for anything other than the best, because they already have gained their sense of peace and they are not going to let anybody disturb it. Exactly. And those are people that are the best because they are well protected. People are not just going to come and sneak in and prey off of their insecurities or prey off of their loneliness or prey because you're alone, but those people are alone, but they're not lonely. Right. Those are the best people. Like, you're really like, when the right one comes, I'm open to it. And that's how anyone in this alone phase should be. Yeah. You shouldn't be lonely in your alone phase. You should be really secure in yourself. So when the right one comes, you can put yourself in that. And you also can see the signs and know, this is something that I want to pursue.
Now, I think the people, and I'm not speaking for everybody, but I think some people that are alone and feel lonely, I feel like you may need to do deeper work.
They haven't done the work.
Because...
Right, I agree.
There's something there. It's like, you should be okay with being alone. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's beauty in that. It's like... For you to feel like I'm lonely, then it means to me that you're not even acknowledging yourself as being in the room, in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, to...
Because it's like, you're lonely, but you're there with yourself. Like, you're not by yourself. You have valued yourself first. Mm-hmm. So that way you can be like, whether there's somebody here with me or I'm alone, I still feel fulfilled. I feel like you're seeking fulfillment.
And when you're lonely, if you feel lonely... This sounds so backwards now that I'm thinking about it, and I'm probably about to say it out, and I'm going to say it out loud. When you're feeling lonely, that is not the time for you to go search for someone. Mm. Because you're lonely, you're desperate, you're in despair. You're going to take anything that comes along to try to fill some type of void. The loneliness isn't the actual issue. There's some type of void that's there that's making you feel lonely, and that's what's going to make you gullible or susceptible, and it's going to allow people to prey on you and come in and take more from you than they should or than you should be able to give. Like, if you are lonely, you need to figure out why you feel that way. And like you said, do the work, because... There's a difference between being alone and being lonely. And when we're talking about this, the whole time we are referring to being alone. We're not referring to lonely people. Right. But so if you're lonely, you can't fix that with going to find somebody, because then you don't have your own sense of self. Now your sense of self is the relationship. Exactly. And you are your own person and your own being. Like, the relationship shouldn't make you whole. You should just be a whole person connecting with another whole person. And now you're just two whole beings in a relationship.
Yeah.
So
again, being alone, it has its perks, and it's beautiful to be alone. Because like we've been saying, you can find yourself, you can find what you want in a partner, and all the things. So just find the beauty in being alone, and sit with it, and do the work. However long that takes.
However long that takes. And make sure that you are preparing yourself for the next chapter if that's what you're looking to have. You should be feeling lonely. You shouldn't be feeling despair. You shouldn't feel hopeless.
Right.
Because then there's still work to be done. Now, when you get to that confidence and that self-assured place and that place of you feel good. When you just sit there and be like, I feel good. Then maybe you're ready. You've set your own solid foundation.
Yeah.
You've gone and did the background work. You've done the inner work. You've done the childhood work. You've done whatever you needed to do.
Yeah.
You really set your intentions. You know who that person is that you're looking for, at least with the qualities or the values of that person and all that stuff, then you're ready. And even if that person doesn't immediately come, you're able to notice them when they do come. I feel like a lot of people miss great opportunities because they didn't know that that's what they needed.
But I feel like being alone makes it okay to the point where you're like, even if I don't find that person, I'm okay with just being alone.
And that's good because then you have peace.
Right.
You have peace with it because there are people that literally never have marriages.
Mm-hmm.
They go their whole lives being single. Or there are people that find people and they never really stay with one person their entire lives. Maybe that's not what you want to do.
Right.
But if you have that alone time, then you'll be able to figure out if that's something you can or can't do. And no matter which way it goes, you're okay with your situation. Because that's what's really important.
Yeah.
No matter if you're single, no matter if you're in a polygamous relationship, no matter if you're in a monogamous relationship and it's just you and your person, whatever your situation is, you should be okay through, comfortable with it, okay with it, and at peace.
Yeah.
And the alone time allows you to figure those things out so that you can gain that peace.
Mm-hmm. Like, don't try to go in a relationship still trying to figure out what you want.
Or what you're trying to do. Yeah, it's...
Figure that out first and then go seek.
Right, right. Or let it gravitate to you. Manifestation is dang. Once you know what you want and you set your intentions and you pursue that or you embody that,
mm-hmm.
then it may be easier to flow into your atmosphere.
Right, right.
And also, it's important to know what you want because if you don't know, it could walk right past you and you never know.
Or, like you said, you're just filtering all the bullshit. So be clear in what you want so you can manifest what you want. Because
mm-hmm.
if you don't, then... Who knows what's going to come your way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably why a lot of people are dealing with, like, fuck niggas or fuck females. Because it's like, you're not cleaning your intentions or you still have some work to do yourself.
Right. I think that's the thing. You got some work to do yourself. I really believe you are what and who you attract.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I heard the dating pool is trash. But...
yes.
So that.
But there has to be somebody out there.
Yeah.
And, like... When you set your intentions and you exude what you expect to get, that's what's going to come. Like, if you feel like you're always attracting the wrong type of person, you might be the wrong type of person, or you might be moving in the wrong circles, or you might,
well,
you know what I mean? Like,
how you present yourself, because that plays a part too. Like, how people perceive you. I mean, you really shouldn't give a fuck how people perceive you, but take into consideration, how would I approach myself? Like, what does that look like? What do I see? What do other people see when they look at me? So look at yourself in the mirror and be like, what do I have to change physically, emotionally, mentally? That's the thing. I think we've answered the question. Yes, the self portion, but are you emotionally stable, financially stable, physically stable?
It went into self. You literally just named it. So in self, the S was self-sufficient.
There you go. Well,
so financially and all that stuff. Emotionally stable. Are you emotionally ready? Lovable. Are you open to love? Can you be loved? Can you accept love? Can you give love? And then flexibility. Can you make yourself flexible? I feel like that alone time is when you are in your caterpillar cocoon called? Catalyst?
Chrysalis.
That alone time is when you're in that chrysalis.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a caterpillar, you're like, do I even want a relationship? Is this what I want to do? I don't know yet. You're a baby. You try to figure that shit out.
Right.
Then you go into the chrysalis. You go into the chrysalis and you really begin to do that work to morph and to find yourself and to gauge everything that you love for. And then when you're ready, you can emerge the beautiful butterfly. You can just emerge. So it's really important. In order to go through that phase, you have to have that moment of stillness, that moment of alone time, that moment
mm-hmm.
being in the chrysalis
mm-hmm.
and really building and developing yourself. So
levels to the shit.
If you are someone that listens and you're seeking a relationship, I hope this is something that helps and you're able to really sit back and take that time alone to understand yourself, to understand what you want,
mm-hmm.
to prepare yourself, to better yourself. So when that person and that opportunity comes,
right.
you are the best you that you can be to accept it. So Thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. I can't wait to talk and chat with you guys again next week. As always, please go to our website and subscribe to our community. We are places, but we really prefer that you listen to us from SoundWise. You can get to it straight from our website, www.coupleschatwith2as.com.
It's free.
Subscribe. It's free. Very minimal information. Email, name, that's it. And we're eager to share with you guys soon the things that we'll be rolling out for our subscribers.
And you don't have to go looking for the episode, because when you subscribe each week, it just pops up on your screen like a notification. You click it, you can listen.
Yep. Alrighty. Well, thank you guys. Peace.